Welcome, everybody. Today is Thursday, February 6, 2025, and this is the Board of Governors meeting for Leon County Research and Development Authority. We do have guests today.
Lauren Campbell, NIA Talcor.
Stephanie Shule, no longer with NIA Talcor, now with FSU, and this will be my last meeting. I just wanted to come and say goodbye to everyone, and what a pleasure it was learning and working with everybody. And now I've joined the FSU team, so I'm really excited about that.
We know where to find you.
Thank you for a well done job.
Thank you.
Do we have an approval for participants? Because I think we do have it.
So moved. Participant.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? We do have a modification to the agenda.
Yeah, we're going to add a 9D, Peggy, just NPS discussion.
Okay. We did not receive any public comment. I don't believe. Yeah. We get a motion for the minutes of December 5th, 2024.
Mr. Chairman, I got it. I'm trying to get either a couple of clarifications on the minutes. Was there any discussion about when that was going to be initiated?
Last.
So it's going to be
the last thing.
That's the last thing that has to go.
Because that's the kitchen sink. That's the way to get the survey for, remember, it's going to be everything but what's already been assigned out, which includes the roads. There is no survey for the roads that we can locate.
And to whom does that transfer to?
FSU.
That goes to FSU.
The ponds, the roads, the hotel rights, the DRC obligations, all of those things are going to be in kind of that last cleanup transfer, if you will. And FAMU is aware of that. Yeah. And then Florida State and FAMU have an agreement to work together. If all of a sudden they want to build a hotel, it might be a joint project, whatever. So that's, you know, but that and all of that and the CAM, all those things have to be finalized. It was easier to do that and not attach it to the lab. It just to attach it to the ponds and roads.
Okay. It might be helpful to put a little of that in the minutes itself.
I could say today's minutes. I can't put it. I mean, I don't
know. Minutes have to be approved or they can be approved and modified.
But I don't know if we discussed it last time. Those are minutes.
Okay.
So they'll be captured in.
We'll capture it in today's. Okay. We've got it today.
Another area we're working on agreements with that issue of family to distribute the unspent proceeds. Is that from the sentence above the proceeds from the insurance carrier? Or is it the proceeds that.
I don't know. But I'm not reading, looking at the document you're reading right now. So I don't know exactly what you're.
Next paragraph.
I'm pretty sure it was the insurance person.
That's insurance proceeds.
Oh, yeah. It refers to insurance. Yes.
Okay. And then, I don't know, I have to raise this on a new business, I guess, but talk about an official appraisal of the 18 acres, which I think we need.
So we're capturing, I think, your comments in today's meeting, which will be in the minutes for today, to have approval for December 5th.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Dave?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A couple of things I will bring up is that the audit is in progress. At this point in time, we see nothing that would suggest that they are concerned about anything. I firmly believe that we'll have another perfectly clean and clear audit for the year 2023-24. That being said, I'll move on now to our treasurer's balance sheet. As of 12/31/24, you saw that we had assets of $25,631,000. It basically is this building we're sitting in right here. That's about all that we have left. All the other assets have pretty much now been dispersed. You also notice that the cash dropped from November to December by about $51,000. I will point out to you that It appears now, keeping this building a little longer than we had anticipated, that our burn rate of cash will be between $50,000 to $60,000 a month. And staff still feels that that should leave us with approximately $1.1 million at the end of our fiscal year, September 30. So we are still solid. We are still burning cash, but everything at this point in time appears that we don't have any worries other than knowing the trend. You'll see that our long-term debt that increases by about $12,000 a month. That basically is the interest we owe on the $4 million loan from FSU. That basically is now up to about now being December 31, up to about $183,000. That all goes away when we transfer the building, so that's all in good shape. If you look at the income statements, well, somewhere that one disappeared. There's stuff here. Here it is. You see that income basically now is down to our CAM funds or common maintenance, and that pretty much is going to go away too. It will go away and has gone pretty much away. If you look at our 90-day past dues, basically all of it is in little FSU accounts here and there, and all that will go away when the process is transferred. So, Mr. Chair, unusual treasurer's report, but nothing to be surprised about.
Any questions for Dave? Get a motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Thank
you, Dave. Michael, you want to
know? I just wanted to add, you know, David mentioned that we do expect to end the fiscal year with about $1.1 million in cash. Through December, we were about $130,000 ahead of where we thought we'd be. Some of that is related to that we have some revenues in the lab that we still are getting, you know, $7,000 a month. Expenses were lower at the lab level as well as at the RDA level. Our biggest expenses, just for reference point, everybody, is our payroll, utility, and insurance. Those are the big expenses, right? And we can pass through the overwhelming majority of that to everybody in the department. Anyway, need to say, we're running ahead, lower expenses, and a little higher revenues than we anticipated. And remember, everybody, as I think David alluded to, the original budget did assume that we would have transferred the lab by 12/31. Obviously, that has not happened. My expectations today are that you know, it could be longer than anybody was thinking, especially given the state of the federal government and the response times, and everybody kind of focused on other things right now at the federal level. So we'll see. None of that changes my opinion on the 1.1 million. I have now, the budget that I'm contemplating in cash assumes we have it till 9/30.
Okay.
Hopefully we won't, but that's financially where I think we'd be if we did.
And basically right now, you're just not getting any info at all back.
Received.
Yeah.
If I send an email, I get received.
Everybody's worried about their job.
Yep. They're focused on other things right now. I'm hoping that will change soon, but okay, a couple of updates on the lab. Just to give everybody an update, we continue to work with FSU Group and identify the equipment needs. We had a $1.5 million appropriation. As of today, we have spent $1,027,000 of that. And we've got $142,000 committed on a couple of other items, which includes a centrifuge, a couple of freezers, and fridges, and so we're continuing to outfit the lab. If you walk around now and go upstairs, you'll see the rooms are starting to fill up in the shared spaces and the additional equipment. And we've got a mass spec also on that list. So after all those commitments and existing spending, we still have about $340,000 of FF&E available. That includes about $8,000 in interest, because I did put those funds in an interest-bearing account. So we've actually got a little extra juice from the 1.5. We're going to end up with probably 1.51, you know, 5-10 to spend. So operations and members, we've got three folks in the lab still. We've got two folks we're taking through the vetting process next week that I'm involved in those conversations as the business person. They've also got some science-specific folks that Valerie and Alyssa have recruited to participate in those vetting sessions to see if they're good fits for the lab. So starting to get a little more traction since the first of the year. Hopefully we'll have a few more folks in here in the next 60 days. And that's really it. That's the update on the lab and IPTLH. If anybody had any other questions, I'm happy to answer.
Don't go anywhere. I know they're
just to give everybody a quick update, start with just FAMU and FSU. If you guys recall, we had the tornado. We got insurance proceeds of $105,000. I have sent the distribution information to both FAMU and FSU. FSU actually now has been delivered their $31,000 for the share of the proceeds of the damage to the Johnson building. FAMU, I'm ready to give them the $70,000. David Self, the attorney, has been reviewing the document for 6 or 8 weeks. He had a question or two. He responded to me yesterday, but I haven't circled back with them. So I'm ready to pay them the $69,000 for their share of the proceeds from the insurance company. Again, that's not, just so everybody understood, that wasn't papered up as an obligation. Those buildings were transferred as is. We are doing that at the RDA because that is the net proceeds we receive. We did spend a little bit of the money immediately during the storm, after the storm. And so that wasn't a negotiated amount. That is the leftover money that we have offered to give. I'm asking for releases from Florida State and from FAMU respectively in exchange for us giving that money. But again, it wasn't part of the initial transaction that there was some obligation. We're also still chasing some FEMA funds. And if we get those relative to the buildings that were transferred, those will also be released to FSU and FAMU. But FEMA, as you would guess, as another federal agency, is probably slowing things down right now. So I don't have much visibility on that. Everybody, also Danfoss and Avalanche, as remember the parkland that was leased to them, that was under our lease with the state on 12/17 of 24, all that land transferred to FSU's master lease. The out parcel, which we owned fee simple, there is a purchase agreement that we have signed off on. FSU is reviewing it. It's with them right now. I expect, you know, sometime in the near future that will be executed. And so that out parcel will also transfer to FSU as a, that'll be a fee simple deal rather than part of our lease. That parcel is subject to all of the DRC and the PUD, all of the development rights and stuff that exist in the park. We did bring it and assign all those rights to it. Also on January 30th, if you guys recall, we had a mutual shared operating agreement for the Fuqua complex with FSU and with the RDA, the share expenses in the center of that, you know, when we built the fix the elevators and whatnot. We terminated that agreement because it still read like we were responsible for 65% of all the expenses. So I wanted to formally terminate that effective September 15th when we transferred those buildings. That has also been completed. Okay. As I briefly mentioned, the lab itself and the build to scale grants, we're waiting on the EDA and we're not making much traction, but I pass through them about once every week just to get an update and not getting much of that. I also mentioned the ponds and roads and the direct declarant rights earlier. Those were originally planned was the last thing we transferred just because that is really the cleanup exercise of all the last of the things related to the original 208 acres. That'll be the catch up will be that it was the 208 acres less all these things that have already been transferred. Here's what's left. That's the transfer to FSU. We think that's the easiest way for the DEP to accept it and also the easiest way to capture all the DRC, obligate the hotel, you name it, whatever, all the other rights. I think I just mentioned the insurance information already and mentioned that we're waiting on FEMA. And then next to last thing I have was Eisenhower property. We discussed that last meeting. I've done nothing with that. That was left relatively open-ended in our discussion last board meeting. So I have not made any effort to do anything with that or initiate any effort, you know, anything going on with that one. The last thing I wanted to mention, we can come back and discuss any of these. I apologize, I'm going so fast. The National Park Service that is in the Johnson building, been there for at least 10 years. We are the landlord under the documents with the government, that the RDA is. I notified them November that we are no longer the landlord. I'd also gone to them in February of 2023 and said, hey, your lease is up in February 2025. I've been told you have 9 million things to move. I assume that will take a while. They said they would get back to me. They have gotten back to us very recently that they would like a renewal. When I say recently, I mean the last 30 days. While we've told them to quit paying us, they have continued to pay monthly rentals to the RDA. They refuse to change the direction of that funding because our name is on all of their documents. So they won't pay FSU. They won't sign a lease with FSU or renewal. So we are in the process. I've been working extensively with FSU on this to have the RDA do a renewal for their space with the blessing of FSU. It is not a board action for us to take. I do not want to ask this entity to approve a lease of property that we don't control. But this apparently is the only way we're going to be able to move this forward so that FSU can do what's called a novation, or we can do a novation on the documents to transfer it in a satisfactory fashion to the federal government. We've used the exact documents from DEP when we did the transfer on the DOT leased space. That was not a non-issue, but for whatever reason, for the National Park Service, this is a different issue. So
it's just one more thing to clean up.
Yep, and they keep sending money to our bank account. We got paid this week.
And you're just transferring it to
FSU? Haven't yet, but I will.
Okay. Any other? That was the addition to the.
Yeah, that was the addition to the. That was that 9B I mentioned. Just wanted to give everybody just an update on what I'm doing in conjunction with FSU as far as the National Park Service lease and the Johnson Building is concerned.
Anybody got questions for Michael on the 10 things? I guess we went through pretty fast.
A new question, really. I'm kind of still curious in my mind. The mission of this lab and the mission of the new interdisciplinary lab almost finished, how will these missions support one another or differ or complement, or are they identical or what? Who can answer that? I can't.
Valerie could if she were here.
I can answer it at my understanding level is, remember, this building is not for academic research. This is for commercialization. The expectation is in the IRCB, there will be academic research that goes on, intellectual property developed, and then potentially some of those folks effectively graduate to here. If they want to commercialize that, they're going to have to form a corporation, an LLC of some sort, some kind of business, and try to ultimately commercialize as a for-profit entity. So the idea that they will be very complementary. They may use some of the same support staff in terms of facilities, I'm guessing, because they have very similar equipment over in the IRCB. But that will have lots of academic stuff going on. This is not for that.
Right. All right, let's go. New business. Open board seat. Have you got
any? Still open. I do. The county did notify me in the last couple of weeks that they had another application, a new person, a younger person, may still be a student at FSU, if I'm not mistaken. And they asked if I had any comments. And then again, we don't get to name, we can submit folks for the county to consider to our board. We don't really get to vote or approve them. So I said, I'm happy to speak with this person, which I've done in the past, or if they want to have them reach out to me to learn a little more about our organization. And there's been no further movement that I'm aware of. So I don't know what their process and timing is. They have their own appointment committee that I think a number of you guys have participated in over the years.
Cool, cool. All right. So, we had a start, I guess, on the future LCRDA. In our December meeting, and I think there's a few things that have happened that are slowing us down a little bit from transferring the lab, and then we're just in a little slower pattern to do the same thing, which ultimately probably gets us to the end. But I kind of want to remind all of us this is probably not our decision. This is probably a Leon County decision. And it might be time, Michael, to start some conversations with the county just on, now you represent the county, but you're on our board.
Yeah, right, yes.
And they're another county member.
And I've had very preliminary conflict with Vince.
So I think maybe we schedule some sort of meeting with Vince and really have a formal discussion. And I think it entails the things that we've talked about, which include the Eisenhower property, and I also, and Ray, thank you for the attachment. That's a great history of the LCRDA, and it probably helps us a lot with how the county wants to position this to the community. I mean, my guess is that they'll want to do some sort of, one-pager press release at some point in time. And that's some things that we probably ought to start discussing with vets, and maybe through you as well, since you're there. But and I'll leave it at that and let people.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, I completely agree with you. I think I brought this up, or maybe had jumped onto a discussion thread at our last meeting about how I think it's important for us to kind of think about what type of public message would be most appropriate. There's a lot to, we've talked about this the last few meetings. There's a lot to crow about with the LCRDA. And this building is a huge success. This should be a symbol of a representation of all the work that LCRDA has been doing, right? But what we can do, we should have that discussion with Vince pretty soon. To the extent that this body wants to kind of figure out what our approach is going to be with Vince, I think it'd be very helpful, right? I mean, you know, the options are, we've talked about it before, do we sunset, or do we evolve into something that continues to provide benefit to the community here? I think that's a very important discussion for us to have, because having that discussion amongst us, I think we can bring into that meeting with Vince and then by extension, communicate that to the rest of the county commission. I'm just one of seven on the county commission, but I sit on this board. So that gives, I think, some ability for us to help shape what that message can be and what vision we want to try to aspire.
I mean, I think that obviously these meetings have all been public, and we've been talking about a lot of this for the last 18 months. And every presentation and every meeting I go to, when people ask me, I think everybody's been very forward about the glide path that we appear to be on. Right. I don't think that's going to surprise anybody. And so I don't think, frankly, there's a huge need to get out and play a bunch of defense. I think this is just, this board's duty is to make decisions based on the circumstances at the time that they think are in the best interest of our community. And I think that's what the board's done. I don't know that I need to represent a whole lot more than that to folks. This is what made sense to do. And this board took the appropriate actions to execute upon that. We did have three open things from the last board meeting. Kevin was going to talk to Kyle. Remember, that was a couple of to-do lists, if you will. He was going to speak to Kyle about the relationship FSU might have an interest in or an appetite on a go-forward basis with the RDA. You were going to speak to Keith, and Ann was going to speak with Autumn. I know Ann has not spoken with Autumn, but I know you had a brief conversation. I'll let you guys give
you 2 minutes. We were going to get together and meet after I've been on vacation for 3 weeks. I hate to brag. It was paid. Daddy paid for all his kids. but I don't know if, I mean, that might be a little bit premature.
It might be. I'm just trying to close the loop in the last few minutes.
I mean, I thought about it, talked to Keith, been on the phone, and the same with Ann. I mean, I don't know that we should do this in a vacuum without the county. Just my thoughts.
And I had a brief conversation with Kyle, who's the Senior Vice President of Finance and Administration Facilities. And under Kyle's authority, the entity, the department called Facilities. And inside of Facilities, there's a group called Planning, Design, and Construction. And all, this is where the master planning element resides. There's not enough time in this meeting to unpack how the complexity of what happens in the master planning process of the university. What has transpired over the last few or several years, there's been a massive restructuring of FSU's facilities team. The idea of trying to at that macro level, figure out how a planning exercise of the LCRDA and of FSU and of FAMU would marry together. There's so much complexity into that. That was not something that was immediately interesting because of what he focuses on primarily as it relates to his primary responsibility of master planning for FSU's campus. And so there was not an immediate reception of, hey, that's a great idea, I definitely want to pursue it. I, no disrespect, I just don't think that was what's on his radar at the moment. I do think that, though, I'm going to use that as a platform to come back, Ray, to the historical summary. And I think you've done a great job, particularly picking up a lot of what happened in the early days of the RDA and how the progression of some of the infrastructure out here. The second half of your document talks a lot about what our current constraints are. And those constraints largely are based on a revenue stream that's either capped or declining for some obvious reasons. And I think, we need to be careful about how we, what we would think is the appropriate avenue here, some of the commentary. Somebody who reads this with a critical eye, who's been in the community, has been here for the last 44 years that the LCRDA and the Innovation Park have been here, and particularly somebody who reads it with a real estate development and a real estate operations perspective, is going to say, well, what this says is that the RDA has put in place a lot of real estate operations that don't fund long-term reserves, and therefore it's unsustainable. And so the solution is to give it over to the universities. But the challenge with that is the universities, in particular their facilities budgets, are as tight now as they've ever been. And so when I'm having conversations with university as it relates to new properties, there's a very focused discussion right now of how are all these ultimately funded, and everything that is brought in needs to be vetted through this idea of self-sustaining. And so if the properties that are being transferred aren't currently self-sustaining, then now we have to refigure that out. Enter this conversation that Michael and I've been having with the NPS. I'm working with them to extend the lease. Michael and I are both on two sides of this, working on this. But the leases have to increase because there's not enough money there to operate the buildings. And so while I love the historical context, there's a challenge with it, which is we have not, as an entity over the last 20 years, we have done a less than a stellar job of creating a sustainable business model. And we need to be careful about how we communicate that. I mean, certainly this is a public meeting. This is going to be recorded in the minutes. But we've not done a great job over the last 20 years of creating a sustainable business model. I don't want to tell people that we did and then spike the football, and have somebody come back and question all of that.
Let me just make a couple of comments. Thanks for the comments that I got from people, and those what I tried to incorporate. And I also want to particularly point out Peggy, who provided me an immense amount of that information. I don't keep that in my head, believe me. So she was incredibly helpful. Particularly, the first comment I make, though, is that a six-page document is a long way from a one-pager. So I was trying to basically use that as a background for county commissioners who might have to make that decision, and for even our board. Some people have not been on this board as long as some of the others of us have. And I think that I was trying to give a little history there. Specifically, Kevin, about the comment about the resources were limited really because of the rent flow, because we were limited in that area because of inflation, because of capped amounts.
We negotiate.
Those are self-inflicted.
I'm stating a fact. I mean, because that's the situation. I don't know. As a board, can we go back and remedy that? I don't think so. But my point was is that that is the reason, in my judgment, that we should eliminate properties there, we have no basis for continuing. We have no revenue stream,
right?
Because properties and property rentals were the only thing that was providing us, basically the only thing that was providing us income. So that was not an unintentional slip. I mean, I intentionally put that in there in two or three places to try to demonstrate that as the amount of acreage declines that we have control over, we are limited in what we can do because we have no revenue stream coming in.
So I know, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, but we're supposed to have a strategic planning session to kind of discuss and kind of talk through these things, because a lot of times they come up in these meetings and we're constrained by time to be able to really delve into them. And so I thought we were talking about trying to get something on the books.
Didn't we do that for that, wasn't that the December meeting?
December.
There wasn't a consensus as to how to proceed with that.
Right, but
well,
we don't
I thought
have
we
a date.
Booked a 2-hour meeting in December and we all stuck around
right,
for that. That
right.
was that session.
That was it. Other than from that, there was no decision what the next step was.
Right. But I guess for me, that still didn't get us, like, we're still having this discussion. It didn't get us to an end point, I guess is my. And so I think we need to have something to get to that. Because otherwise we keep spinning the wheel. It's like we're on a hamster wheel.
And to Shante's point, I think Michael has asked the question in several meetings for some suggestions and even for board members to bring suggestions forward outside of the meeting so that that can be collected. I don't know if anybody's provided any feedback or input of what those potential alternatives forward plans look like. I don't know that anybody's come up with a great answer yet.
I guess maybe I'm wild, but I don't see but one answer. And what is our need when we get all this stuff done? And what is the need of this board when we get everything transferred? We're going to have hopefully a little bit of cash and a piece of dirt that the county probably gets to decide.
Do with
what happens with, but I don't know. I mean, unless we just make up something for us to do, I don't really see much of a, and maybe an island again, maybe.
I think it's a very fair point. And if I were going to create something today, and this goes back, I think to my first meeting as chair, if I were going to create something today, doesn't matter what it is, I would not use the authority model.
Correct.
It doesn't allow us to move quick enough. And so that, I think that needs to be a bedrock part of the conversation as we look at what might be in front of us. Is this organizational structure conducive to a good business plan? Doesn't matter what the plan is. Does this structure facilitate? And I don't think it does. So that, to me, is an answer.
I've got a question about something you talked about a little bit earlier, sustainability, self-sustainability of buildings. Now, one of the problems that LCRDA consistently had was lack of full occupancy. Would you have that problem if buildings were fully occupied? Because FSU or FAMU, whatever, certainly has need for space, and they can find a use for it that would justify picking these buildings up and using them for their purposes, which I think ought to address the self-sustainability issue. If you compare what a fully used building would be versus a fractionally utilized building, and what the delta was in terms of income.
So Eric and Shante are going to both understand this answer from different perspectives. And it gets fairly complex when you start to peel the layers of what Eric's asking. There's a something that is a requirement for the universities, which is called an educational plant survey. And inside that EPS, all of your buildings are designated for the different types of uses, and each type of use avails itself to a different type of funding, whether it's educational in general, whether it's contracts and grants, it's auxiliary, it's SRAD. I mean, there's all sorts of different things, and it gets way complicated. Well, okay, so to understand how buildings are ultimately supported and funded, it requires a fairly complex, and Jessica, I should have included you in that. You see it as well. It's not a simple answer. It's just not simple. But when we're looking at Morgan and Johnson as an example, one of those, I think, will ultimately, inside of FSU's portfolio, avail itself to external tenants such as National Park Service, who they're not part of the university administration, but they do something that relates to the research enterprise. FSU Research is currently talking with a host of different people. Mike Campbell is having many conversations with prospects, and those people might come in as tenants that can leverage and benefit from the research that happens in a research park. The other side of that is a building that would be purely used for the administration. Now, that could be particular departments or programs or centers or institutes or whomever inside of the university that somehow connect to what happens in the research park. And then we figure out which bucket of money those are funded by, and that funding source may be the source that helps maintain the facilities. All that being said, it's just not simple. And so the Ray, your question, or Dave, who asked the question about the occupancy?
Eric.
So the occupancy needs to be an input into understanding the output of how do we operate. And there's a lot of layers.
Well, just the simplest analysis is that a fully occupied building presumably would be, economics would be set up that it would be self-sustaining. It would be at least a wash. And I know that buildings here would be considered research because of the nature of the requirements and so forth. And FSU is in the process, serious about doing a lot of recruiting to increase the grant base and so forth. Now, who they hire could be in part dictated by the nature of the space available. Many of the buildings that have been moved over would be similar to the uses of research A and B that are used by research programs and so forth, doing certain types of things, not wet lab stuff, but other types of work. So I think that there's certainly, it could be, maybe not today, but in time, maybe a short time, a situation where all this space can be utilized.
Again, if I can interrupt, guys, that doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's
I think we get captured in our meetings sometimes talking about ancient history and decisions and things that have already happened. All these buildings, with the exception of this building, has been transferred. This one is due to be transferred. So whatever the history lesson is on the rentals and even the bad decisions we made, let's keep in mind, we gave away the land that Danfoss, the arguably the only retail real tenant we have, they pay zero for 25 acres. Okay, so those are decisions that have been made. That is all in the past. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time on the but for this decision, but for this decision, but for this decision, we'd be great. Okay, we are where we are. And I think that Shantae's initial question here is, what do we do from here? Not how we got here, not, you know, whether it's one page or 10 pages, it doesn't matter. The job today is not to play defense and to justify. It is to decide what to do from this point to some other future point. And this, again, this is my for-profit brain talking now. This is how I have to live in the world
of what matters is what we do from here forward, not really how we got here.
And I think that has to be in conjunction with
Agreed.
Lee County.
Yes, and again, the point I would bring up, and I put a bullet point here, guys, that I wanted, we have all been talking, and certainly myself included, we go back to the 1978 charter, and it refers to a number of different things, one of which is a dissolution process. And it says at the end of that process, the assets will be equally divided by Florida State and FAMU. I did a little more homework more recently, Peggy and I did. And you remember, in 1980, this entity was reconstituted and adopted by an ordinance at the state level that made it a creation of the county. So even though we've been in existence for 2 years, we really didn't get created by the county as a dependent special district until 1980. So I am going to start, I know I have said this out loud before, we always were all working on the assumption that at the end of the day, whatever that was, assets would be divided universities, because our charter from 1978 said that. I'm not 100% certain that we will get to drive that process based on the fact that in 1980, we were reconstituted under the county. I think they're the ones that have to dissolve us. This board would have to vote to dissolve. The county would then have to accept it. And I believe at that point, the county gets to decide what happens to the assets of the entity they created. They may very well accept a recommendation from this board. They may do exactly what our old charter says, or they may do something different. So I would be reluctant. And the reason I put this on there, for us to represent to anybody, well, then FSU and FAMU get to split it, because I'm not sure we have the authority or if that's what would happen. I do want to get that out there in front of everybody, because as I'm trying to study that dissolution process, I'm trying to get a little smarter.
I think we all still need to be clear before having a meeting with the county.
Yes, for sure.
So what?
And I don't think we are there. Up. Well, I'm not there, so y'all might be there, but I'm not there.
Hey,
let me just ask a question. What clarity do we need? And hopefully by the September, we will have two assets, some amount of cash, mm-hmm. and a piece of dirt.
And no revenue streams.
No revenue. What is the need for an authority to manage that?
Well, would, let's say LCRDA was developed to run Innovation Park, to manage it, to run it, to build it, to we've done that. We've dissolved it to some extent. Does LCRDA now need to be given a new assignment by the county with new revenue stream? I think the county has to decide, perhaps with the city, do we want to keep this organization in place so that it can take a brand new mission, whatever that mission is, and can we or will we be willing to fund it?
So, go ahead, and Mr. Chair. To Dr. Friday Stroud's point, I agree. I think we should come up with an idea of where we want to go. You know, we've got different options ahead of us. We've talked about these options for the last year or so. What's our recommendation to the Leon County Commission? One of the voting members on the County Commission is sitting right here. I think the recommendation that this body puts forth and delivers to the County Commission would be given a lot of deference, especially if it's well thought out and we've got a consensus on where that could go. But that decision, I think, is got to look at the cold, hard facts. I mean, what function could this body provide that is not being provided already in some part by FSU, by FAMU, or OEV? Yes, exactly. So, you know, what can we add? What clear benefit can we add that is not being taken place, that not being done already by some of these other entities? And if we did find something that we could add to those other entities' efforts, what leverage would we have as a body to engage in those efforts, right? If we've got no assets, it's just us, where we're always going to be at a weaker negotiating position in terms of getting things done than OEV, FSU, and FAMU. And so that's another thing to consider too. If it's just a group of people that sit around and make recommendations and try to, you know, that's going to be hard for us. Whoever ends up being on that body going forward, I think it'd have a hard time with those other big players that have more
and different missions.
Yes, exactly.
More and different missions.
Does the county have a mission for us? I don't know. I doubt it.
Well, that's what we just said.
I doubt it.
Well, I honestly don't know. I think the county understands the work that has been taking place. And Ray, your document here will remind people. I was elected in 2018, but I'm the third most senior county commissioner there. Four people have joined since I was elected. So most of those commissioners are not going to be very heavily familiar with what the work has been taking place as the last few years, right? So this document would be a big help to them understanding. But the reason why I say that is because I think we have a lot of weight in this group to make a recommendation and put that recommendation forth. Whatever that recommendation ends up being, I think that will be accepted with some deference by the county commission. And assuming we have consensus amongst this group on what that recommendation is, I would be someone who would advocate for that recommendation to the county commission.
And I guess for me, it's getting to that consensus.
Yeah.
Right? Because the talk of dissolving has been on the table for a while, but it's been kicked down the road. So now is, to me, the time to say it is or it's not. And if it's not, what's the alternative?
Well, the kick down the road is to not leave.
Yeah, someone's by necessity to get some things done.
Yes. No. I get that. But
no alternative for that.
Right. But what I'm saying is kick down the road, even in terms of real discussion, because clearly things had to get done. But we could have been doing it knowing that that was where we're going, and we wouldn't be having this discussion right now. And I'm just saying, I think we need to make the call.
So to parlay on that, what do we think administratively, and I'm thinking about the technical side of a windup of a the authority structure, when we if the vote were to dissolve, if that were the will of this board and it was ratified by the Board of County Commissioners, from an accounting perspective, what all is left after we've distributed everything? You know, it seems like it would be something in a final audit and a
That would be what it would be, because it's largely administrative today. I mean, I'm doing the administrative tasks of dealing with the existing and remaining assets, right? We have reporting requirements as a government authority. INE's doing an audit, required administrative tasks. We report to the state on a variety of things, the county on a number of things. Peggy has to do all of the administrative requirements we have. So that's what we all do, is those things. So when the assets are gone, there's nothing really to do other than to report on having nothing. So that should be relatively easy and brief and something that doesn't go on for any extended period of time. And to Shante's point, we're not working, the team, the staff here, we are certainly not working on anything other than the divestiture of all of these things. Now, that doesn't mean there's not plenty of day-to-day activity with the things we still own and crisis of their own making, as anybody knows who does anything. But there's no other directive that this group is working on. And to be quite frank, another county assignment of any sort, I can't speak for Peggy and Amy, is not appealing to me in any way. So I don't know who the expected person or individual or team that's going to carry out some other different mission. I consider my marching orders at present very clear. And I am trying to move as fast as I possibly can, which is much slower than I'd like to move, and I think most of you can ascertain. But that is what I signed up to do, and I expect to do that. I certainly have no expectations or, frankly, an intention of doing something beyond that, certainly because no one's identified such a thing.
Like, to follow up on Shante's point, one of the things that Kevin has said is that his judgment is that there should be nothing past the authority. If we're going to, something's going to happen, we ought to have that encumbrance out of the way. The organization should not be an authority. Why don't we just start with that? Why don't we decide right now that the authority responsibilities should not continue over an extended period of time. We're not put a date on it.
But let's go ahead. The divestiture of the assets.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and shut that door. And that without the thinking of moving forward, then we can talk about timing. before we go to the right. with the
with some of which is out of our hands, unfortunately, right now. We think
the one last point is that I was going to say, go ahead. Fair enough. Sorry,
no, but I think that's what we. I think that in the absence of any other alternative, expectation is that we divest the rest of these assets. That the path that we're on is to, you know, dissolve this entity with the help and support and participation, frankly, of the county. And we should put them on notice, in addition to just putting Rick on the spot, but I can have additional conversations with Vince, that this is kind of where we're headed.
Well, maybe it would be appropriate to invite Vince to join us for a meeting or discussion. Welcome to come. Doesn't have to be at the next 2 months later. We could set something special meeting up to meet with him at his, based on his schedule.
He's aware of, at a high level, of what's going on.
He's
here.
Aware. I mean, I talked to Vince.
Yeah. But yes, I think that might make sense.
That might actually expedite.
It would be more real. It's one thing to talk about it in the
hypothetical, and another one to say it helped. Frankly, I think it would help if we get the lab transfer. The sooner I get that, then it really narrows the neck down. That's arguably the stopgap of movement right now.
Because the last one is pretty easy.
Yeah, and the DEP has been fantastic. And remember, that's going to just be us, the DEP and FSU, and everything. And FAMU piece, those all went super fast, really. I mean, maybe not as fast as I would like them to go, but they really, from the scheme of things, when you talk about those kinds of entities, they moved very quickly. So, and again, even if we're left with the Eisenhower and some cash, that's an easy one to transfer. That's not a mess to clean up. What I'm trying to avoid is make sure we don't hand the county or anybody another set of problems to solve. And if it's cash, people usually can figure that one out. And even a piece of real estate with a recent phase one, that's it. Those aren't problems. The lab, the DRC, some of those things are bigger. Remember, I got easements with the city on the roads. I mean, there's just a process to go through to move that stuff. And I think it's, to the extent we can, it's incumbent upon us to try to get at least a neatest package as possible. You're welcome to disagree.
What's our next step, Mr. Chairman?
Do you want to make a motion?
I move that that this board determine that at some point in time, the Leon County Research and Development Authority, under those responsibilities set aside in statute, should be terminated.
I think we need to add that the caveat with the counties.
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Can we get a second?
Well, let's make sure that there's some specificity, because Ray, your motion said at some point in time.
So when the assets have been distributed.
Yeah. So I think that my friendly amendment to that would be that the successful distribution of this lab, the roads, ponds, common areas, plus 60 days. You know, once that benchmark is established, plus 60 days to allow for any potential administrative cleanup. And then
it probably required some action at the county level.
County level action.
So my only thing to that, before the friendly amendment gets reviewed or assessed, is the timeline of 60 days. What's the rationale for that? And I only ask that because, like, what's happening now, things could have been moving at a certain rate. Life happens, and now that rate gets pushed back, but then the 60 days is in there. And what happens if you don't make the 60 days?
So, which is really where I was going when I asked Michael the question of, once we've distributed administratively, what's left? And so the idea of a 60 days is to be able to capture the
water. I get that. I'm just saying that 60 days, there could be some other extenuating circumstances that could drive that 60 days beyond 60 days. Out of no body's, you know, design here, just life. So then what happens then? That's my only.
So in a different capacity, I'm in the process of dissolving a 501c3, and what I know about that, which is not, this is an authority, that's a different structure. But when the board votes to dissolve, everything that happens from that point forward has to be focused on the quote unquote wind up. Now, there's no specificity about when that will happen, but on a date certain in 2024, the board of this entity voted to dissolve, and therefore every action that occurs after that point has to be focused on wind up. So we could, without putting a future date on it, we could vote now to dissolve the authority subject to ratification by the county commission. And then everything that happens from this point forward, assuming it's the same set of rules, the 501c3 to the authority, everything that happens from this point now needs to be myopically focused on distributing assets and winding up the operations.
I wonder if it helped because to turn my motion around and instead of talking about dissolution or let's put that at the end. After resources, after properties, after roads, ponds, et cetera, all of that is done, then the authority would be recommended.
Initiate the dissolution process or whatever.
Be dissolved. So whenever that process of getting these ends tied up happens, then the authority would be dissolved. We would recommend dissolution to the county commission. And that way, we're not putting a 60-day, we're not putting anything in
there. If you read the mission or the goals for the year on our website, it literally...
It's your attachment.
Too. Yeah, if you look at the attachment, Peggy included it, it basically says that exact thing. I mean, with the exception of a timeline of 60 days or post to certain properties, but it was really the future. It talks about getting rid of the, transferring the assets, figuring out what to do with Eisenhower. So we've kind of, that's their script, frankly, that we've been following.
So does that respond to your concern?
Well, I think it's two ways of saying the exact same thing. I think it's a distinction that doesn't have a difference. And I say that just because we're all thinking about the same thing. I'll be crystal clear. I think that there is no future for the authority after we get done with this. I just think that we need to accept that. That's the fact. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Nobody has come up with a reason, an interesting path forward, and particularly not under an authority model. And so even if the county were to come back and say, you know what, this is really cool, maybe we ought to pair with OEB or whomever. Yeah, but that's still not our board. So I think that we need to be prepared for the glide path ends in just a complete dissolution. This board goes away. There is no path forward after that. And that's just brass tacks.
So the motion and the amendment, what is the motion that y'all want Peggy to declare that we see if we get a second on?
You want me to try to reread? Well, restate. Here's what I have. after all the properties, including the roads, ponds, and declarant rights, have been transferred, then the authority will initiate the dissolution process subject to ratification, I guess subsequent ratification, by the county commission.
Second.
All in favor?
I'll second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes. Did you vote yes? Passes unanimously. Well, love you guys. I think that's all our business.
Well, let me just ask Mr. Meyer here, a meeting with Vince. Should that take place? You said sooner rather than later a minute ago. Should we try to schedule a special meeting?
I let me backtrack from what I said in response to your comment a bit ago. As Michael had said, and I mentioned too, Vince is aware of what our goals have been. I know Michael's spoken with them. I have as well. He's very well aware of what our goals are, and his best guess, I think, would have been for us to have a motion that we just did and vote unanimously to do it. So I don't know that he's, of course, is welcome to come to a future meeting of ours, but I don't know if that adds to where we need to go.
One other thing I just thought of, do we fill an open seat for something that we know is going to?
That'd be the county filling it, not us.
Okay. Do you want to push that around, or do you think it's just we do it if we get a good candidate?
They'll assign, again, it's out of our hands. They will assign the member. It's an at-large position. The county will decide if they want to assemble this board. I'll have a conversation with Vince here in the next few days. And if he wants to assemble that appointment committee and put somebody on this board, they are wholly empowered to do that.
And I'll be meeting with Vince on Monday, and I can add this to our list of things to discuss with him. I'm kind of the same opinion. If we get some really good applicants, it might be a good opportunity, you know, for us to have someone. But we're only talking months, you know, 8 months, 6 months.
Hopefully. But remember, yeah. And again, just so everybody does remember, there was a motion passed at the last board meeting that Ine and Peggy will be paid through March of 2026, independent of this new solution process. My expectation and assumption is that that will be honored under a scenario.
Yep.
But as for the question about the open seat, we'll see how it goes on the county. I have no problem adding someone to the board if it seems like it's a good fit and it wouldn't hinder things. So,
okay. Yeah. Let me just give an example, though, of a mixed signal we're sending. Because in the minutes, we just approved a little earlier, it says the process of the wind down of the authority would take an estimated 24 months to complete. And I was going to raise that as one of the things that I think we're sending one message by saying that. Pardon?
To whom?
Whoever reads this or... I mean, that's what minutes are for.
But that was the last minutes, and now I think we just made an accelerated time period, didn't we?
We did.
I mean, there were minutes from 3 years ago about building a lab and running this park indefinitely. And so obviously we have changed the position because the circumstances have changed. And I think that's a reasonable observation that 24 months is what was said at the last meeting. But this we seem to have accelerated that.
Okay. A question remains, though, about who gets to make the final distribution, whether it's the land, 18 acres, whether it's whatever sort of thing not available.
I think that's a conversation with the county in advance of dumping in their lap. Yes, okay. For sure. Because I don't want to get in front of that either. I don't want to make the assumption, or this board shouldn't, that let's start distributing everything so we give them an empty coffer. Maybe we can't. Maybe they want us to, but that's a... And I don't know if we'll get what kind of opinion we'll get on that, but my hunch is the county attorney will be involved much more than Vince, frankly.
Right?
Yeah.
Then,
well, Vincent,
Brett Chastity, though. Right.
As it relates to any type of public communication, the press release that would go out, Ray, I appreciate all the work that you've done on this. I think we need to make sure that whatever is presented externally, it is approved by everybody at the table because, you know, as I pointed out, there are things in here that, while I appreciate the work you did, I don't agree with some of the things that are written in here, particularly as it relates to the transition to the universities and how.
That's also got to go through the county as well. I mean, we got a two-step process. The board can approve it and the county has to weigh in on it as well.
We just want to make sure they're in the loop and we're not saying it's something that causes them problems.
That's exactly right. And they got marketing people and they've got
they're good. They've had to
do this
manage
before.
PR before.
Yeah.
Yeah. To memorialize the good things that LCRDA has accomplished recently, we have established now at the doorway a plaque that I suggest you check out as you walk out the building.
Dave's offered to pose with each of you or take your photograph.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, you know, one thing that I just want to point out, I mean, we hinted at the idea that in past years, maybe the LCRDA didn't look at sustainability as much as it probably should have. But think about the flip side of that, right? I mean, even in your document, Ray, you talk about giving 23 acres of land to Danfoss Turbo Corp, which has been a flagship business for this community. And then we gave 25 acres to the National High Magnetic Lab, which defines business growth in Leon County, Tallahassee. I can't think of a better outcome than the transfer of those acres than these two entities now. So
great job on the economic development side.
And we've said this at meetings before, some of those things were the absolute right thing for this community.
Exactly.
Without question. However, they may have been the wrong thing for the long-term viability of the entity that's supposed to oversee this park. It was great. Because we didn't negotiate a counterpart that said, hey, because of all the jobs that are going to get created by Danfoss and all the economic development done by the Mag Lab, we should get $500,000 a year somewhere, I don't know where, to come to us to offset, because we still have expenses in the park.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that.
On the other hand, the authority was not set up to be a commercial real estate operator.
I think that's
where we manage rental income. But we weren't set up to do that. So that, to me, is not, if we didn't set up a model that allows us to continue to exist, to pull in revenues from rent, I think that means we've done our job, not haven't done our job, because I don't think that we have not made a, had to make a plan for sustainability, self-sustaining, because we have given the properties to the universities.
That was because of our failure to make that plan, though. And it was the university's land. Their long-term plan certainly wasn't to give us property and then give some of it back to Florida State and some of it to FAMU. It was all FSU's property at one time. That couldn't have been the master plan.
It was set up to be economic development. And at the time when it was set up, FSU was probably not ready, nor was FAMU, to accept property like this.
They already had it.
But they did. They didn't need it. Now they need it. And in the last year or two, particularly, they have needed it. So, I mean, I'm not concerned about the argument about self not having a self-sustaining plan, because I don't think we're a private enterprise.
And
we're trying to act like one by saying...
Well, that was our only revenue source was rent.
But we had other land. And as long as we had that other land, we had a reason to exist. But once we got the land out there, continuing to bring in revenue from rents is not what we're supposed to be sitting here doing. And so that's why I'm a little not concerned about, as I think Eric is not concerned, that we don't have a self-sustaining plan, that we made decisions at the time that many of us think. I've been on this board for four decades, not constantly, but I was here in the late 90s. I was here in the early 2000s. I was reappointed at the end of the 2010s, and I'm here in the 2020s. And so I've seen some of those decisions being made. I was here for the Magnet Laboratory decision, here for the Danfoss decision. So you don't want people on the board as long as me. And that's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that I think a lot of the decisions that were made at a time when they were good decisions.
Yeah.
Nobody was trying to say,
of course,
I think
you know, Kevin has brought up the point several times that the model that this authority model doesn't function, right? So some of it is a function of how we were created, and so it just, I mean, it has lived out its life, right, based on what was given and the constraints that we've operated under. So I just think it is what it is. It's not trying to go back and make like there were bad decisions made overall. And I think being able to tout all the positive things that have come out, again, recognizing the constraints under which we operate.
And if you go back to those times, I don't want to belabor the point, but if you go back to those times, and Ray, if you were on the board when the Mag Lab was granted that land, that's great, but when that decision was made, I don't think any of us can think of a better outcome than what happened, right? So, you know, to kind of have a revisionist history about what those decisions were made back then, I'm looking at the results. You know, the decisions were made to grant land to Danfoss for zero cost. and to transfer land to the MAG lab. I mean, the results of those two decisions, I think, are over the top great decisions for this community. And the authority, the mission for the authority was not to sustain itself necessarily. It was to foster research and economic development in this community. And on those two points alone, it's hit it out of the park.
That's right.
So, you know, I think it's important for us when it comes to messaging, what we just voted on, I think those are two points that we need to really hit home.
Well, let's add this as the third point.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah.
So we can hang our heads high, walking out the door, closing it behind us with these three accomplishments.
Those are three home runs. Those aren't even basics. Those are.
And constantly bring forward when we talk about this solution. This is the achievement that we are proud of.
Yeah.
The big three.
Ben.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.